make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Identifying disease before it progresses to the point where it can strike you down makes huge intuitive sense. Yet whether there is an urge to test, a middle-aged man for cholesterol in his blood, or an older woman for signs of bone decay, most people aren't really prepared for what could go wrong. Some types of medical screening make sense if done in the right people at the right time, yet even the most appealing of our modern medical hunting expeditions are often misguided. My next guest is Alan Castles, and he says that public health people, practitioners, and profiteers are increasingly selling us the mantra of test early and test often, and all too often are creating panic and paranoia in the population with little in terms of gains in human health. Gosh, is that a depressing introduction. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I guess it sounds a little depressing, but we do have a tool in our arsenal, and I think it's healthy skepticism promoted by you and others. And I think that you got to remember that when somebody's offering you a screening test, whether it's a test for your bones or your breast or your prostate, that this is not an emergency procedure. This is something that you can take time to think about, to read about, to inform yourself. There's lots of people out there that are selling tests and selling diagnoses of all types. Though you have to remember, we're talking about otherwise healthy people being told they might be sick. So if you're otherwise healthy, the question is, how are you going to benefit from getting screened? I mean, I do mention in my book there are a couple of instances. I mean, there's probably a handful of instances where, you know, being vigilant and submitting to some form of screening might be a good idea. I mean, an example might be a Pap test for cervical cancer for younger sexually active women, probably a pretty good idea every 2 to 3 years. Colon cancer screening, which can be done with a fecal occult blood test, probably a good idea. It's fairly non-invasive.
Alan, you say probably a good idea, but I think it's also backed up by some data or some numbers. And so can you elaborate a little bit about what makes a screening test acceptable according to you?
Yeah, so a screening test has sort of two variables. One is its sensitivity and its specificity. Basically, you want to know to what degree, if the test tells you have a positive test, is it a true positive? Meaning, the test is saying that you've got some kind of disease, that you actually have the disease. Then there is, if the test tells you that you are clear of disease and you don't have any signs of disease, is that actually true as well? So no test is 100% sensitive or 100% specific, and so any test is going to involve some level of false positive, which is you will be told we've got something suspicious. We need to further investigate it. And some tests, the false positive rate is astronomical. I mean, I just finished writing a paper on lung cancer screening, and I talk about this in the book as well. But the number of if you take thousands, and we're talking 30,000 smokers, people who are heavy smokers, 30-pack year smokers, people who smoked a pack a day for 30 years, and you do CT scans of those people's lungs, you will find that for every 100 abnormalities that you find, 97% of them will be false. They will
Wow.
be the sort of yield on that kind of test is very low. You might find essentially 97% of the people who are told there's something abnormal in your lung, mm-hmm. and we have to go in and investigate, 97% of the time they're going to be going on a fishing expedition. They're not going to be finding.
So that is a very expensive fishing trip. Do you have any idea what the numbers come out to be for all these false positives, even just for the CAT scans and for the follow-up biopsies and It's got to be enormous.
Yeah, well, that's where the money is, right? You know, it's one thing to do, say, lung cancer screening on heavy, heavy smokers, but the problem is someone who might have smoked a little bit in the past would get worried and say, well, maybe I should get a test too. Well, even in the most high-risk people, the yield is so low to actually screen lower, even lower-risk people, the cost would be enormous. I mean, when you look at, say, the mammography industry, the number of women that that are screened, I mean, that's a you know, $6 or $7 billion a year industry, not just doing the screening, but of all of the biopsies, the follow-up, the investigations that follow, because once you find something unusual, that really leads to more investigations, more biopsies, more surgeries, basically more intervention.
And it's Alan, I'm sorry. How do we stop the cascade as long as there's an insurance company willing to pay for it and doctors who will gladly provide it? Because that's how they make their living. It seems to be very difficult to stop this practice. I haven't seen it stop in 25 years.
Well, you know, I think things are improving somewhat. We are pointing independent scientists in the direction of screening tests. We've got, in the U.S., you're lucky you have a committee called the USPSTF, United States Preventive Services Task Force.
When they come out with something, though, they get lambasted by every other association out there, who have their own agenda, and it gets kind of lost in the noise.
Yeah, but people have to remember, yes, the USPSTF are not there to support, defend, or promote screening. They're there to evaluate scientific evidence. And if you're interested in scientific evidence, then you would listen to them before you'd listen to the perhaps the American Cancer Society and telling you how often you need your prostate checked. I mean, the USPSTF would say the PSA test is a dud. We shouldn't be doing it. We're harming far too many men. I think, you know, if you value science and you value independence, you would listen to those folks and not the people that are out there making money selling diapers.
Right, but once again, how does the individual person even, you know, I can't even remember the acronym. How are they going to know to go to this website and read it and have critical thinking of it? It's difficult.
That for sure, and I think that, I mean, that has been sort of my life's work, is trying to point people in the direction of independent, quality sources of information. And it's not easy, and even for me, you will find a lot of information that has been supported by, promoted by, influenced by either the medical device manufacturers or the pharmaceutical companies, but those ties are not obvious. They're hidden. They're often so hidden they're difficult to find. So, I mean, you have to really look at groups who produce information that do not stand to benefit from the treatment. And so, you know, these groups that are out there promoting mammography screening, well, why are they doing that? Well, because that generates money for their foundations and so on.
Alan, real quick, 10 seconds. Any countries out there that have it right, that are doing it according to not making money?
Not really. I think the U.S. might have it the worst, but you also have one of the best sources of evidence. So good on you.
Well, I'd like to thank my guest, Alan Castles, for joining us today. He has written a new book that everybody should read. It's called Seeking Sickness, Medical Screening, and the Misguided Hunt for Disease. Alan, thank you for continuing the fight for all of us. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic, reminding everybody to do your own thinking. Don't let anyone else do it for you. And stay skeptical, my friends.